Thank you, and welcome to this session. My name is Proskovia. Today I will be presenting on family caregiver support factors associated with self-reported adherence among adolescents living with HIV in Uganda. Professor Fred Somala, who is not with us here today, is the principal investigator of this study. Dr. Apollo Chivumbi and Christopher helped coordinate this study. I would also like to recognize the presence of our Reverend Father Kato. He flew all the way from Uganda to be at this presentation. So, Father, thank you so much for coming. And Sarah is our study coordinator in the NYU office, so she's also here. So, thank you. First, I would like to say that there are no relationships to disclose. This is a brief outline of my presentation. I'll give you a little bit of the background and context, family support factors and family level barriers to ART among adolescents, some of the research gaps and the questions we are trying to address, the methods for our study, the findings and implications. So to give you a little bit of the background, AIDS is the number one leading cause of death among adolescents between 10 to 19 years of age in sub-Saharan Africa today. It's the second leading cause of death among adolescents worldwide. Road accidents and injuries is the number one leading cause of death. There is an estimated 2.1 million adolescents living with HIV worldwide today, and 80% of these live in sub-Saharan Africa, so that's a huge number of adolescents living with HIV. In Uganda, where this study is being conducted, Uganda represents about 7% of those adults. The development of combination ART, also known as the highly active ART, has allowed individuals with HIV to live longer, healthier lives and prevent opportunistic diseases. So the combination ART combines all the medications for HIV into one pill that people living with HIV take. Unfortunately, the majority of children diagnosed with HIV in developing countries do not begin ART in a timely manner. The overall ART coverage for children under the age of 15 has consistently been half of adults, so about 34% compared to 64%. In Uganda, the guidelines for ART just changed last year, but before that, children below the age of 15 could not start ART. So that was a huge problem. And yet there is a study conducted in Uganda and Zimbabwe that show that children who start ART early in life are more likely to have normalized CD4 counts later in life compared to those who remain untreated beyond the age of 10. And the guidelines for the World Health Organization recommend that children between 2 and 5 years begin ART if their CD4 counts fall below 750, and the older children should begin when their CD4 counts falls below 350. So this has been a huge problem in Uganda, where many children were put on septrin, which does not help much to help with HIV. And in addition to that, maintaining high level of adherence, usually equal to 95%, is crucial to the success of ART treatment. So why family contact, why family and caregivers need support factors? So family support, the family context of the individual living with HIV is an integral part of the success of ART. The lack of social support is associated with a non-adherence. That's one of the studies that was conducted in South Africa. So children and adolescents depend on their caregivers for medication. Caregivers may act as partners to their children and may develop strategies to respond to their children's adherence challenges. In a recent study conducted, caregivers reported that they worked with their physicians to avoid having to administer a dose when the child was at school, also reducing the schedule to twice a day, like in the morning and afternoon when the child was not in school, and this allowed the family to withhold disclosure of the diagnosis to school personnel and classmates. So in a couple of slides, I'll show you this may be an issue as well, because if you don't disclose them, there are other issues associated with that. Other family-related factors related to adherence include having an adult other than the biological parent as the primary caregiver, so children are more likely to adhere, and also the education level of their caregiver and peer support where they remind each other to take this medication. Therefore, a healthy transition to adulthood is dependent on effective hair care, protection and nurturing from family members, peers, and communities. So it's a combination of different social support systems. So what are some of the family level barriers to adherence among adolescents? These are family level. So there are many other factors, but these are family level. So stigma and discrimination, this may force caregivers not to disclose any information, like the study that I just talked about, because caregivers were worried about their children being stigmatized at school, so they withhold this information from school personnel. Also the non-disclosure within the family. So the secrets of the diagnosis within the family may limit who gives medication. So if I don't know that a child, you know, they have to take medication at a particular time, if I don't know that they have HIV, then nobody's going to remind them to take that medication because they don't know. One study that was conducted in Uganda, though, indicated that children between 12 and 18 years were three times more likely known to adhere if their caregivers were the only one who knew about their HIV. So this may work in favor of the caregiver, but also it may work against adherence, because let's say the caregiver who know that child has HIV, if he or she is not around in the home, the child may not take the medicine. After all, nobody else knows. So it's like a double-edged sword to adherence. Also the issue of family conflict and the lack of support are leading to under-involvement with the child, and poverty and other life stressors. We like to call poverty the pink elephant in the room that nobody talks about that much, but we just control for that. So for poverty, adherence may not be the priority for the family. If they don't have food, they're not going to maintain adherence. Actually, this study that we are strengthening families economically to make sure that they have the necessary financial means and resources that can help with adherence. I'm not going to talk about it today, but it's something that we are working on. So what are some of the research gaps? There are a few studies that investigate adherence to ART and medication among adolescents in sub-Saharan Africa, but also few of these incorporate the role of family support in promoting and facilitating adherence to medication. So the research question that we are trying to address is what aspects of family support are associated with self-reported adherence to ART among these adolescents. So these adolescents between 10 and 16 years of age. So in terms of our methodology, we are using cross-sectional data from the CVE adherence study. This study is currently ongoing. It's being conducted in Uganda. It is an innovative economic empowerment intervention aimed at increasing adherence to HIV treatment among adolescents living with HIV. So we're using the baseline data before the intervention. So it's being conducted in 6 geopolitical districts in Uganda, and this is the area where HIV started, so it's highly affected by HIV. This study received IRB approval from Columbia University and also from the Uganda National Council of Health Science and Technology. We obtained assent from the children themselves, the adolescents, and consent from their caregivers as well. So the total sample is 702 adolescents are living with HIV between the ages of 10 and 16. These adolescents were recruited from 39 health centers and clinics in the region. So we work with health centers where these children are affiliated to. To be eligible to participate in the study, adolescents had to be HIV positive, so they had to show the results of HIV positive, but also they had to know, had been disclosed to. There are very many children there that don't know their status. They keep taking this medication, but they don't know for what. And because caregivers, some of the caregivers don't want to disclose, they may say, oh, you have a headache, or you have a stomach ache, or you have pain, but not HIV. So if the child did not know that they were HIV positive, they were not eligible to participate in this study. Also, they had to be prescribed with antiretroviral therapy. So like I mentioned, until last year, children below the age of 15 were not prescribed ART. So they were put on different other medications, Septrin. So if a child was on Septrin, they were not eligible to participate. Also, adolescents had to be living within a family and not an institution, so we needed a caregiver, a child and a caregiver. And because these are children below 18 years of age, so if we found a child-headed household, then that child could not wear and was not eligible to participate. Also, these adolescents had to be enrolled in one of the 39 health centers, or clinics within the district that we work with. Data was collected using a 9-minute interviewer-administered survey. These are trained interviewers in Uganda that we work with that sat with the children and interviewed them. So adherence to medication. So for this study, we are doing self-reported. I'll tell you later on what other measures we have. But so two questions, in the last 30 days, how many days did you miss at least one dose of any of your HIV medication? So they had to tell us the number of days. And the second one is how often in the last 30 days did you take your medicines in the way you were supposed to? So the responses range from one never or five that they always took their medicine. So family caregiver support factors. We use the family cohesion scale. This is a 6-item scale, and some of the sample items in this scale include your family members ask each other for help before asking non-family members, your family members like to spend time with each other, you feel close to each other, available when you want to talk to. So this scale measures the amount of closeness and the availability of support within the family. The second was a child caregiver communication. This question is a part of a child parent support, but there are several items on that support that I've tested out, but this one worked, so we pulled that out. So it's ranked on 5 always or 1 never. And we also included our child demographics, such as age, gender, household composition, orphanhood status, if they had lost one of both parents or if their both parents were alive, and then who the primary caregiver was. So in the regression analysis, we examine the relationship between those aspects of family and caregiver support associated with self-reported adherence. So this is the snapshot of our sample. The ages 12, the mean age is 12. The majority of our participants are females, 56%, and this has been this throughout all our studies. In terms of orphanhood status, about 38% had lost one parent, one biological co-parent, and had one. 27% had lost both parents, and 35% were an orphan. And what I didn't put up there is that the majority, about 75 to 80%, were in school, so were enrolled in school. On average, 6 people in the household with 2 children. And the majority mentioned their biological parent as their primary caregiver. So looking at the regression on self-reported adherence, we measured 2 outcomes, missing at least one dose of ART and also taking ART in a prescribed way. So our results indicate that family cohesion was associated with missing one dose of ART. And better child caregiver communication were associated with less number of days they miss their ART medication, and also they are more likely to take ART in a prescribed way if they had better communication with their caregivers. So gender is age is highlighted there because the literature shows that the older adults are least likely to adhere. So they're actually more likely to also miss days of taking their ART. So in this case, it's also the same. So older adults were more likely to miss at least one dose of ART. I should also mention that for our sample, they highly rated taking their medication in the right way, so about 75%. They mentioned that they never missed a dose, and also they took their ART in the right way. Again, this is self-reported. So the summary of our findings: family closeness and availability of timely support is associated with fewer days of missing at least one dose of ART, and better child caregiver communication levels associated with both fewer days of missing ART and taking ART in a prescribed way. So we have two major limitations for our study. First, this the adherence is self-reported. However, we have other measures that we use that are part of the intervention to measure adherence. First, we have the wise pill device. So it's a device that it's like a container. So they put their medications there, and it's a program that the child has to take medicine, let's say twice a day. So this box should be opened around 8 in the morning. So every time they open that box to take their medication, that data is sent to a server, and we are able to access all these records. So even if they took their medicine like a few minutes of when the time they're supposed to take it, or if they took it 2 hours later, we know that information, and we can tell that if they're adhering or not. We also collect their viral loads. We also use pill count. So we go to their homes physically and count how many pills they have, how many pills were dispensed, how many they have taken, how many are left. But we also make sure that we get the records from their pharmacies where they get this medicine. So we know that this data corresponds with each other. The other limitation is cross-sectional data, but still we are analyzing baseline data. This study is still ongoing, it's a longitudinal study, so I'll have opportunities to analyze data after the intervention, post-intervention. The implications, sorry, how do I get back? Sorry about that. So the implication for these findings that family support is crucial in promoting adherence to ART among this population. One of the implications for research is to investigate what guardians actually talk about with their children, because we've seen that there's a better communication is associated with both outcomes. So we need to find what actually do they talk about. Do they talk about HIV? Do they talk about adherence? What exactly is going on? So qualitative approaches would help answer this question. And also, increasing adherence to ART in developing countries should incorporate, so programs that are aimed at increasing adherence should incorporate measures that promote and strengthen family support systems. And our study, the CB adherence study, is tackling that. So we'll be happy to share some of the results in the near future. Our study got financial support from National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. We are grateful for our principal investigator, who is not with us here today. He's in the field. And our study participants and their caregiving families, and also the research staff and our research partners. So, yes, thank you so much.